Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that we shall see Jesus. One of my favorite gospel songs has those very words, "We shall see Jesus." In fact, many of the songs of our faith speak of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friend, I trust today as we turn to the Word of God that your heart will be encouraged to know that one day everyone who has put their faith in Christ will see Him face to face.
What we anticipate as Christians is the appearing of Jesus Christ. But notice, not only do we anticipate His appearing, but secondly, we anticipate our transformation. Now, let me show you a mind-boggling phrase here in verse number 2. Notice what it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," notice this, "we shall be like Him." Now, let's say that together. We shall be like Him. Now, some of you say, "There ain't no way I can be like that. Pastor, you don't know my husband. You just don't understand. We can't be like him." I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We shall be like him. Now, let's delve into that just a little bit. Look in your notes there, Philippians 3:20. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So let's see what the Bible says about this. Philippians 3:20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So here again, God says, when we see Jesus Christ, He's going to change our vile body. Now someone says, "I do not like my body referred to as a vile body. I eat vitamins, I brush my teeth, I exercise. My body is not a vile body." Your body is exactly what the Bible says your body is. Now, it doesn't matter what age you are today. The fact of the matter is all of our bodies need some help. Any of you ever have a headache? Any of you ever have a cavity? Any of you wearing glasses or contact lenses today? Do we need to go on with the list? We don't have time for your rheumatoid arthritis and your sore hip and your this and your that. You'll have to tell it to your friend at lunch after church. The fact is, we all have problems. Our bodies are not immortal. They are quite mortal. But the Bible says one day our bodies will be changed, and one day we will be fashioned unto His glorious body. What a great thought that is. I like the story of the old farmer that took his family to the city for the first time. They left the farm and they went down to the city and they saw all the big buildings and all the cable cars and all the trains, and they were in awe. And they went inside the lobby of a tall building, and the mother went over. She was looking at some jewelry in a case, and the dad and his son, they were just standing there looking at everything. After a while, they noticed these two big doors that opened up. And as the two big doors opened up, kind of an elderly, heavier, disheveled type of a gal walked inside, and the doors closed. On top of the doors, a thing went from one end to the other, and it came back. The doors opened, and a beautiful, thin young lady walked right out. And the farmer looked at that, and he said, "Son, quick, go get your mother. Let's run her through this thing." Now, that's not exactly how it works. There won't be any special machine. There won't be a time machine. There won't be any science fiction type of thing like that. It will simply be the moment Jesus Christ appears. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we will be instantly changed according to the Word of God. In fact, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just look a little more about this fact of having a transformed body when Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." He says, "I'm going to tell you something great." He says, "We shall not all sleep." That means we're not all going to die before Jesus comes again. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, that is not just talking about the church nursery right now, all right? Sometimes we call that the theme verse for the church nursery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Christians. We will not all die before Jesus comes again. Some people will be living when Jesus comes again, but we will all be changed. How will that happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to be dying and decaying there. It's a forever kind of a place. We're going to have a brand new body for the brand new home where we will spend all of eternity. Now, sometimes the truth of this just comes home in ways we weren't really expecting. I was with my younger brother, Stephen, this past week, and we sat down at a table to eat, and sometimes you get these smart-alecky, giddy waitresses. They'll walk up, and they're kind of in a mood, you know. And she walked up. She looked at me. She looked at him. She looked back at me. She said, "Let me guess. Let me guess. You're the father, and he's the son." There went her tip. I mean, my brother laughed for 10 minutes. He called me yesterday to ask me if I need any Geritol or anything like that, you know. He thought that was so great. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that our bodies are mortal. And, I mean, we're losing our hair. We get cavities. But one day, we're going to have a changed body, and we'll no longer need those vitamins. We'll no longer need all of that medical care. And the fact is, our bodies will be immortal. They will not age anymore. They will be physical bodies, not necessarily the same physiological makeup that we have today, but they will be in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, without sin, without the curse, and we will be changed in a moment of time. Now, that is the anticipation that every Christian has, that Jesus Christ will appear, and that when we see Him, the Bible says, we shall be like Him at that very moment. Wow, that's something to thank God for. Well, notice in our text then, not only the manifestation of God's love, not only the anticipation of God's people, but thirdly, the preparation of the redeemed. Now, if this is going to happen, and it will, then how can we get ready for that day? What do we need to be doing between now and then? Well, let's notice what the Bible says in verse 3. A very short verse, and if you're a Christian, listen up. And if you're not a Christian, we're going to get to that in just a minute too. But look at verse 3. It says, "And every man that hath this hope," speaking of Jesus coming, "every man that hath this hope in himself, in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now let's read that verse together, shall we? Ready, begin. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, the people who prepare, who are the ones that are purifying themselves? Who are the people who prepare? Well, it says, every man that hath this hope in him. The people who are to be preparing are the ones who have the hope of Jesus Christ in their heart. The Bible says in Romans 8, 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now listen very carefully. Does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Does God's Holy Spirit give you assurance that you are saved, a child of God, and on your way to heaven? Now, if he does, and if you have that hope in you, and you believe that you're a child of God, then there's something you better be doing according to the Word of God, because it says, everyone that hath that hope in himself, the Bible says, purifieth himself. So the people who are preparing, that's the saved. Notice secondly, the sanctification of the prepared. Now, we live in 2005. There's a lot of church growth seminars and books that are being written. And they're basically saying to pastors these things. Look, if you want your church to grow, you need to become cool. You need to stop preaching and using words like sanctified and redeemed and all this stuff. You need to get a rock band, give a few psychological ditties, and let everybody out the back door feeling good about themselves. Now, that may be what certain people say about church, but I want to tell you, I believe we're here today to find out what the Bible has to say. And the Bible has to say a lot about sanctification. And it says that if we have this hope that Jesus is coming again, then we need to be purifying ourselves, getting ready for that day. Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, Paul the apostle wrote, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so God says, if you believe that Jesus is coming again, then I want you to be getting ready for that time. I want you to be perfecting holiness, growing in grace, and becoming more like the Lord Jesus as you anticipate that day. I heard the story of a farmer who was out in the mountains one day and he found an eagle. The eagle was young and somehow he's able to catch it. He brought that eagle home and he thought this would be fun to have a little eagle for a pet. And somehow he bound the eagle's wings and put the eagle in with his chickens there at the barnyard. And after several months, that eagle began just to kind of walk around and began to peck like a chicken and even made noises like a chicken and just kind of adapted into the life of a chicken. Well, one day a shepherd came from the mountains, and the shepherd came to visit the farmer friend, and he saw in that pen this beautiful bird walking around just pecking and acting like a chicken. And he said, "Have you ever thought really how terrible it is to keep that eagle bound up? Don't you think you ought to let him go and experience the wild and beautiful blue skies that were prepared for him by God and so forth? It's kind of a shame," he said, "to keep an eagle in a barnyard." Well, the farmer thought about that. He said, "You know, you're right." And so he went over there and he unclipped those binds that were on the wings of the eagle. But you know, when he unclipped the binds, all that eagle did was keep on scratching and keep on digging for stuff. Kept on acting like a chicken, just acting like a chicken in the barnyard. Finally, they said, "Maybe if we can take the eagle and put him on the top of the fence post, and if he could see the sky, he could jump off and he would take off." And sure enough, they put that eagle on top of that post and he looked out, he saw those mountains, he saw that blue sky, and he took off for the first time and he enjoyed all of the freedom that God intended for him to enjoy. You know, I hear that story and I think about many Christians that are living in this world and their life is no different than the average unsaved man. All they do is kind of hobble around, pecking and scratching and fighting and pecking and scratching and clawing at people and clawing at this and that and living for the old bottle and living for the old drugs and living the old gossipy lifestyle. And God says, wait a minute, I didn't create you to peck around like a chicken. I created you to soar like an eagle. You see? And God wants us to realize today that we are to be sanctified. We're becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians today must learn that lesson. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, said it this way, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank God for His grace that renews us. Now, there's three phases of sanctification. And I want you to see these from the text this morning. Notice this, first of all. The first phase of sanctification is what we will call past sanctification. That happened the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You were set apart by the Holy Spirit. You were sanctified the day that you were justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, it says there in verse 1 that we should be called the sons of God. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were set apart that you would be called a son of God. If you are saved, you have been sanctified in the past, whether it was yesterday or 20 years ago. The first moment of salvation, you were sanctified or set apart by God. Now, the second aspect of sanctification is what we call spiritual growth or present-day sanctification. This is the process whereby I am becoming more like Christ. It is a process, according to verse 3, where I am purifying myself. I am in church today, hearing God's word, that I might be purified, that I might be growing as a Christian, being sanctified every step of the way. Verse 2 says, now are we the sons of God. And verse 3 says that we are purifying ourselves. So there was a day in my life when I was sanctified at salvation. Now, as the Son of God, I am growing spiritually. I am growing in my sanctification. Then there is the third and final step in sanctification. We call it future sanctification. That is when we will have our bodies completely changed and we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And finally, the battle with the flesh and the devil will be over. We will no longer have those struggles and we will be like Him, finally and ultimately sanctified. How many of you look forward to that day? The battle will be over and the victory will be won. The story is told of a young girl who accepted Jesus as her Savior, but she was not a part of a church. And so she went to the church to inquire about becoming a member. And an older deacon was there hearing her testimony, and he wanted to make sure that she had truly been saved. And so he began to ask some questions of this particular young lady. And he asked the lady, for example, he said, now, let me ask you, he said, were you a sinner before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And as he asked that question, she thought about it. She said, well, of course I was a sinner before I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And said, well, let me ask you this. Said, are you a sinner now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the girl thought about that. She said, well, to tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner now than I ever was. And he said, well, then how can you say that you've been changed? How can you say that your salvation was a real experience? He was trying to make sure that she knew she was saved. And the girl thought about it. She said, well, sir, the best way that I know how to explain it is this way. She said, I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now I'm a sinner running away from sin. Are you running after sin or away from sin? If you're running away from sin, then you are purifying yourself. You are being sanctified until Jesus comes again. But so many Christians today are running after sin, and their life has no testimony of salvation. Now, the Bible says that if you are saved, your final destination is a place called heaven. Look at your notes there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I love that phrase, reserved in heaven for you. If you have been saved, if you have been sanctified, no matter where you are in this growth process, you have the hope someday that heaven is your eternal home. How many can say amen to that? That's our home. Heaven's our home. And that means that if you have that hope in you, when Jesus appears in the clouds and when we see him, according to verse 2, that's an awesome day of anticipation for you. You look forward to the day when you see Jesus Christ. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you do not know that he's in your heart, you don't have that hope. It's not an awesome, exciting day. In fact, for many, on that day, they will be left behind as the saved meet the Lord Jesus in the air. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." You see, when Jesus comes in the clouds, the Christians will be caught up with him in the air and will be transformed instantly. We'll have a new body and we'll be with the Lord for all of eternity. But those who pierced him and those who cursed him and those who denied him, my friend, they will wail because it will be the beginning of the end of a life of destruction in a place called hell. When you think about Jesus coming again, do you get excited and filled with joy? Or do you have wonder and questions and it's kind of an eerie thought? My friend, I want you to know that you can leave this place today saying, "I wish he'd come today." You could leave this place today ready and knowing that you are one of those redeemed that has that hope in your heart. But you must make that reservation we read about a moment ago. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chappell serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that one day heaven will be your eternal home? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I want to encourage you, if you have never made the decision to trust Christ as Savior, to consider doing that right now. If you believe that you fall short of the glory of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal, righteous Son of God, then right at this moment you can pray something like this: "Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I now put my faith in you and you alone to forgive me and to give me a home in heaven for all of eternity. I invite you into my life to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." Friend, if you just said that prayer, that's the most important prayer we can ever say in this lifetime. Let me encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org for further study helps, and let us know how we can help you grow in the Christian life.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chapel and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.